following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
1.7 billion were there for his birth. 220 countries tuned in for his first step.
Woohoo!
The world stood still for that stolen kiss. And as he grew, so did the technology. Broadcast live and unedited to an audience around the globe.
Cool, man.
Coming to you now, enclosed in the largest studio ever constructed, and along with the Great Wall of China, one of only two man-made structures visible from space. Now, it's...
I'm Speaking Plainly with Bill Hay.
Good evening, Jax Miller. Welcome to I'm Speaking Plainly. I'm your host, Bill Hay, and joining me in the studio, of course, is Holly, my producer, and over there in Master Control. And when I say over there, I know you can't look over there, but over there to my right is the great Dr. A.J. Davis, who is pushing all the buttons and sliding all the slides to make us all sound really good tonight. And he'll be the first voice you hear when you call in to talk to us at 222-TALK, 222-8255. Top of the day to you, Dr. AJ, how are you doing?
All right. Happy New Year.
That Dr. AJ.
Yeah.
I mean, that sounds so hip, so with it, so into it.
Yeah, that's me, Mr. Hip.
I kind of like that.
Well, that was originally started, and before I got to Jacksonville in Charleston, South Carolina, a program director there told me, he says, hey, we're going to make you the doctor, Dr. AJ, the doctor of music. So that's how that kind of stuck.
And you stayed there how long?
And I wasn't in Charleston for too long, maybe about... 9 months.
About 9 months.
Then I came to Jacksonville.
Then they revoked your license to be a doctor, and you came down here.
Yeah, the South Carolinians, they didn't care too much for a fake doctor.
Good thing
Trump didn't know about it.
We're glad that you are here. We are very glad that you are here and joining us. Tonight is going to be really kind of the very first show of this new format coming up in 2 weeks now. I've been promised that we'll start the live stream. So you'll need to dress accordingly if you want to have your hair coiffed and your makeup just perfect and everything so that the folks at home will be able to see you in all your glory. I'm looking at you, Holly, but I'm actually talking about AJ over here with the hair and the makeup.
I had a relative actually ask me if the images I put on Facebook were they retouched because they were a little jealous of my skin.
Really?
And I went, well, that's because I use...
Everybody wants white and pasty?
Sunscreen and I use skincare products. I am not biting.
Since you came into the studio today, I have done everything I could to like dig at you and push your buttons, and it's just not working.
No, it's okay.
It's a cold, dreary winter day, and you're just
AJ,
not into
you know
it.
Where I work, we have body armor, right?
Right.
I'm obviously going to need to bring you some next week.
Really?
All right. So as part of the new show, not really the new show, but in a direction we're going to go to try and be not only more interactive with the live streaming.
But find a new way to tick off Trio?
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't have to do much about that. One of you guys has to go on and plug something onto the website, and it just pushes his buttons. Between him and Jimmy Mignette, I've had probably 6 or 8 different exchanges with them this
week. I saw
week.
Some of the ones on Facebook.
Anything that bothers them, they say, well, I can't believe Bill allows this on his website. We need to have this taken down. But, you know, just because something offends you doesn't mean that you get it to voice and an opposition and then want to demand that it be taken down. I pass by dozens of women on a daily basis in Home Depot or Walmart or any other place, and many of them offend me, but I don't ask them to leave the store. So, you know, that's kind of the way I run my page, as long as it's not somebody. Now,
that's because several of them could probably kick your butt.
Anyway, the issue came up with how we referred to President Obama, and there was 3 letters that some folks that made some responses and posts referred to President Obama that went a little over the top, and I had a discussion with them. They're regular listeners and their administrators, and they don't have any. There's no love lost between them and President Obama, and there's really no love lost between myself and President Obama. If you ask just about any scholarly person out there, you will find that, with the exception of a few individual groups in this country, he was probably the single worst president we've had on history. And I think it's very hard for someone to go out of their way to beat Jimmy Carter. But I'm certain that he beat Jimmy Carter.
See,
hands
and I don't
down.
Agree with that. I think Carter was the worst.
Really?
Yeah.
Carter didn't, without visibly saying it, Carter didn't approve the death of police officers by militant radical
He wasn't
groups.
As divisive as Obama was, but for the economy and for just having a set on him to stand up to other nations, was terrible.
We've had several presidents like that. Truman was one. Johnson was one. Johnson was terrible for the economy. He was terrible for the economy because he pulled us out of he made moves that got us further out of the Vietnam War with respect to actually placing us in a position to where we could win it. Kennedy was assassinated because they thought he was going to pull us out of the war. And then, of course,
right. War's big business.
War is big business for this country. And it looks like we have dodged a bullet with respect to North Korea. It seems like President Trump not backing down, President Trump being a lot more harsh with his rhetoric, had to go to Twitter in order to be able to get away with it. But, yeah, they're going to the talks. They're going to the table with South Korea on Tuesday. Now, our representative to the United Nations, Nikki Haley, has said that nothing short of a complete shutdown of North Korea's nuclear program is going to be acceptable to the United States. And I tend to agree. Of all the countries around the world that do not have nuclear capabilities, I think North Korea having them or being on the cusp of having them is not something that we want.
I'm still trying to figure out how China got away with sending stuff to them under the radar and why nothing's being done to China.
Oh, well,
I know there's
I can't answer your question as to why nothing's being done to them. I can easily understand how they got away with it under the radar. Their close proximity to them by landmass makes it very easy for them to sneak stuff over the border. I mean, we as a country, I mean, look at us. We in the United States during the Ollie North time of the, you know, the CIA infiltrating some of the Sandinista groups in South America and providing them with guns, we shipped guns and ammunition all over the world in crates marked humanitarian relief. Our inspectors are the ones that are looking at these crates. It's very easy for an order to come down that says, hey, leave these crates alone, or don't open this C-box, or don't open, you know, don't board that particular freighter when it comes into harbor, because that's a freighter coming from the U.S. So, you know, we're not singing in the choir when it comes to getting stuff shipped around the world and getting away with breaking treaties and moving arms and things. So I think that'd be a poor leg for us to stand on, because
it's one of the reasons why I have such a hard time sending money to these groups that are always begging on TV for you to feed the poor starving children of Bangladesh this week so they can starve to death next week. You've
right.
got warlords in these countries that intercept our humanitarian aid and distribute it among their people and not give it to the people that are really starving. And
yeah, you want to see a great film on that that was turned into a movie, was actually based on actual events, condensed down to 2 hours that you could actually get away with in a theater. It's an old movie. It's been out for about 10 years now, maybe longer than that. Black Hawk Down. Based on the true actions in Mogadishu.
Yeah. My husband gets too upset when that movie comes on.
I'm right there with him. If you look at the way the aid around the world is distributed, and even right here in our own country with our efforts in Puerto Rico, there are boxes and truckloads of supplies and relief sitting down there on the docks, and they're being delayed, for a lack of a better word, by political red tape to garner a little bit more power in the next series of elections that come down. Oh, I helped you. I did a good thing. I got this relief to you. Makes me look good. Vote for me when the time comes. So it's all a game, and unfortunately, the victims are the ones that have to play along. You're listening to I'm Speaking Plainly. I'm your host, Bill Hay. We'll be right back.
Hey! Let's get back to I'm Speaking Plainly.
What you got to say?
To join the conversation, call 222-TALK.
Say, hey,
hey. That's 222-8255.
What you got to say?
Once again, here's Bill Hay.
Good evening, Jacksonville, and welcome back to I'm Speaking Plainly. All right, we got through the creative juices, few 6 or 8 minutes that we do for the start off, and tonight we are going to start a series that I teased up before the Christmas holiday break about the history of women in the workplace and the demise of our culture. And before the feminists out there start going crazy and hitting the speed dial, I'm going to relate to you, I believe, over a period of a couple of weeks, some things that have been brought to light. Now, first of all, I've been friends with Marshall Wood since I started this show, and you'll hear Marshall and I go back and forth about him being a nut job and me being anti-religious zealot, and it's all done in good fun. It truly is. But he wrote a book, and it's a very hard book to read. Truly a very hard book to read, but if you can stomach it enough to read it, it provides a valuable amount of knowledge. I'm not a reader. I read technical manuals. I can sit down and read Popular Mechanics or National Geographic all day long. I'd rather read it on my computer, but I'll read it in print form if I have to. But as far as reading something like Hemingway or that, I've never read. I don't think I've ever read Hemingway. The only reason why I ever even watched what's that one that's two parts that takes the intermission in the middle, the girl is in Georgia, Gone with the Wind. The only reason why I even know about Gone with the Wind is because it was in the $5 bucket at Walmart, and I bought it just because so many people criticized me about having never seen Gone with the Wind. So I'm not a big reader, but I did honestly sit down and read Marshall's book, and it talks about a plethora of different things. But one thing it brings up is that culture, by its very nature, men and women are different, and they're different for a reason. They've been different for a reason since the beginning of time. The problem with culture and the reasons culture fails is when women and men start to assume the same roles. And you can see it across the board in any civilization, in any culture, when women rise up and take a position outside of the home and start exuding more power within a culture, eventually that culture fails. There is no culture on the face of the earth where women are predominantly in charge. Now you can say, okay, well, we've got women in England that have been prime minister. Sure. That's not women in charge of society. And when I say in charge of society, in charge of society has nuances that go far beyond who you see on the television each week or who you read about in the news each week. Even here in the United States, there are people that are pulling the strings of society that have nothing to do with the likes of Bill Gates or Donald Trump or Al Gore, for that matter, any Hillary Clinton. Any of those folks, there are a multitude of other people that make decisions on a daily basis that trickle down through our culture, and some of them in the recent past have been Supreme Court justices on the federal level, on the District Court of Appeals levels. We have decisions being made, legislation being made from the bench that, for example, Ruth Bader Ginsburg has authored some rulings or some opinions from the bench that have set back our country quite a ways. It made it seem at first like she was doing good for our society and doing good for feminists across the world, but by and large they were bad decisions. What was the movement, Holly? It was we call it the Women's Lib movement, and it was, what was it, the equal
ERA,
the Equal Rights Amendment, and Title IX for schools. In many ways, has done more damage to our country than it's helped. Now, people they'll cherry pick and pull out the good things.
Well, you feel that way because you're a guy.
No, I don't. I think And I appreciate your banter on it. Please join
women
in.
Women sustained the economy during the war years. And even in the 60s, only one in five women worked outside the home that had small children.
Yes, you're absolutely right. What you just said is
true. And
we
didn't go to work because we were trying to bolster the economy. We actually went to work because we loved our country.
Well, and because you like to eat. And because without eating, without working, you weren't given the same ration of stamps during the war effort. And I still have books of those stamps that my mother had from World War II, where you could only get so much milk a week, how many gallons of gas you could get in a month. And it was an incredibly small number. I mean, for a month, I think my mother got something like 14 gallons of gas for a whole month. I mean, imagine even a high schooler today being told, you've got 14 gallons of gas for a whole month, and then after that, you're on your bike or you're on your feet.
To school. Oh.
Exactly. And so when you think about it, I've been – and we're going to get sidetracked 100 times, folks. So just understand that this is more of an informational type segment than it is anything else. But I'd really like to hear your opinions. 222-TALK, 222-8255. Phone lines are open. If you disagree with me, the women went to work to help the war effort because they realized that as Americans, we needed to win this war. We needed to stop communist aggression in Europe. We needed to defend ourselves from the attack that we that was forced upon us at Pearl Harbor. But then after the war was over, it was like giving a kid who's never had chocolate before in his life, giving him a piece of chocolate. And watching his face light up as it tastes so good and they really love it and everything is fantastic. And now all they want is more chocolate. Well, that's what it was with women in the service. You know, women went to the factories, built the ships, built the tanks, built the guns, built the ammunition. And then after the war was over and we won and all the guys are coming home and they're going back and they're taking those jobs, women are saying, hey, wait. I liked that paycheck. I liked having my own money. I liked being able to spend what I wanted to spend without asking my husband or my father. And so that started a very slow ball rolling downhill. And I did a little bit of research, and I have it here in the computer. And I, unlike the other news agencies that try to bring you stuff on a daily, sometimes hourly basis, I made a guideline for which – if I couldn't find two sources that came close to agreement, then I'd pass over that particular talking point and go with something different. So here's my first talking point. In the 1860s, what do you think the average age for a woman, and don't look at your computer, stop, no Google searching, what was the average age for a woman to get married?
No, I'm going to say 16.
That's very good because you're right. Okay. If you were in the 1860s, 18 years old, many places would call you a spinster because you weren't married yet.
Yes, I've been watching the very good series on HBO called John Adams and could not believe I didn't watch it the first time. And his oldest son, John Quincy, when dad came home from his travels in London, was seeing a girl that was 15 years old. And when the son said that, I went, 15? Oh, my God. But that's the start looking. And sure enough, that was a normal age.
Absolutely. Now, here's another thing that I learned in my discussions or in my research. When our country was formed, the pilgrims came over. And ships, many, many ships came over after that. Many, many colonists came over after that. They didn't have people over in Europe selling tickets for these ships, and a single woman shows up on the dock and says, I want to go to America. That wasn't allowed.
Oh, no.
That was not allowed. You had to have an escort, and that escort had to be a father or a husband.
Or you had to be an indentured servant.
Yes, you could be an indentured servant, but then you were the housemaid of a house, and unless the house as a whole was coming to the States, you were not allowed to travel.
Yep, you had to come in a group,
and
you had to work for that family for so many years of your life before you could go out on your own.
And indentured servitude that's a discussion for a whole different show. That is amazing. I got into a little bit of research when we were doing that. Your father could place you in indentured servitude to a wealthy landowner in exchange for a share of his land in order to farm and raise crops on. So he could sell off his own children into indentured servitude and pay for his property by the toil and the labor of his children at another house or another plantation somewhere else. And predominantly, before we get the phones lit up, those indentured servants were white. Many times they were white. Moreover than none, they were white. Because in most of those countries over there, they did have slave workers that worked on property, but they were not considered indentured servants. They were considered slave owners. They were a piece of property rather than another human being that was legislated to work for them for a certain period of time. And that period of time was generally 7 years.
Yep.
So you went into indentured servitude for 7 years, and then after a period of time, you were out. So we're going to expand on this, and this is going to be kind of the direction of the show for tonight for this main segment. Later on in the evening, we're going to talk about the Wolf book, Fire and Fury, and how it came out in such great huff. But now many of the chapters are being dissected, and even the White House is saying, outside of Trump administration sources, that Wolf has no clearance, and no records show him as ever being in the White House. So it's really interesting how he says one thing and White House security says another. You're listening to I'm Speaking Plainly. I'm your host, Bill Hay. The phone lines are open, 222-TALK, 222-8255. We're going to step away for just a couple of minutes. If you'd like to reach me on Facebook, you can. Facebook.com/ I'm Speaking Plainly.
Hey, hey, hey. Let's get back to I'm Speaking Plainly.
What you got to say?
To join the conversation, call 222-TALK.
Hey, hey, hey.
That's 222-8255.
What you got to say?
Once again, here's Bill Hay.
Good evening, Jacksonville. Welcome back to I'm Speaking Plainly. We're going to take a little real quick off-topic phone call because I don't want him to stay on there for forever. Hey, Rex, how you doing? I understand that you have a question about the scanners and the local news folks. I know that the Sheriff's Department has not released the Sheriff's Department and their cars and their communications are all on what's called the 2-meter band now. And it's encoded and encrypted, and I know that they haven't released those scanners back out again for the news media. It's just that the news media is staying a little bit more informed by the PIOs, the public information officers. Even I get updates and emails to my phone with regards to police activity now. So they're trying to be a little more transparent.
I was kind of being kind of jovial about it with Channel 4. It seems like that's all they have now is shoot them up and stab them up and stuff like that on there.
Well, I understand, and that's going the way of most of the local news stations. It has to do with selling what's hot right now, and crime and destruction gets people to hang on the line for a little bit longer.
If it bleeds, it leads.
If it bleeds, it leads. That's the way it goes. All right, Rex. Yeah. Thank you very much, buddy. I appreciate your call tonight. And people are starting to notice it now. Every time you open up a newscast, I don't think it has been, I think it's probably been months and months, maybe even a half a year or more since I've flipped on the local news and had them just start normally. There's always that breaking news banner that comes up.
They were so excited when the weather turned bad and they could start talking about, get ready, it's going to snow, oh, there's going to be ice, destruction,
right.
Mayhem.
Exactly, and then they had to drive 100 miles up to, I kept wanting to call the field reporter because I happened to know her, and she kept calling Alma, Georgia, Alma. Well, we came up here to Alma, Georgia, and we've got 3 inches of snow on the ground, and everybody's making snowballs, and they're building snowmen, and this, right up here in Alma. And my mother's name was Alma. And so every time she would say it, the hair would stand up on the back of my neck because it's Alma, Georgia. It's Alma. It's not Alma. And we are not Saxonville.
Yeah,
we are not Saxonville.
A lot of people seem to think so. You know, my dad's been here now almost 14 years since my mom passed away, and he still says Duval. He won't say Duval. He says, not right.
Now,
I said, did you make that a judgment, Dad?
We're all good friends, and we promote as much as we possibly can the other shows here on WBOB. And one thing I love to give Ed Dean a hard time about, two words that he uses, and I he won't admit to it, but I believe that he actually does it so that my ears will turn up and the ears of many of his other listeners will. Two words he uses. One is issue. He'll say, that's the issue for today. And it just, it, I'm listening
yeah,
to
and he's doing
him.
That on purpose.
Okay, and the other one is Adam Putnam.
Oh, yeah, he loves pronouncing
his name. He doesn't
want to
say Putnam, right?
He doesn't want to say Putnam. Now, Adam's probably pretty upset about this because the county is named after his family. It's Putnam. Adam Putnam. And it's issue.
Well, you know, when the hurricane came, that's how you knew that the folks that were doing the weather stuff for the Weather Channel were idiots because they kept pronouncing Fernandina wrong.
Yeah.
Fernandina. What? It's Fernandina.
All right. So we got off topic there. Started thinking about Putnam. Anyway, so I was trying to develop a framework of this discussion, and I want you to participate. And I know your blood pressure's getting up, so we'll try not to excite your mirth over there when I say that women have, in many ways, caused our society to be where it is now. And that's, in the grand scheme of things, it has to do with the dissolution and the dissolving of the nuclear family. But let me ask you and see if you can go two for two. You got one at 16.
Mm-hmm.
How long was the average work day in 1885?
Oh, my gosh. It was all day.
Wow.
Now, come on, AJ.
Yeah, imagine an eight-hour workday. That would have been light work, huh?
Oh, gosh, yeah. You woke up with the roosters and got up at the crack of dawn, and you worked until dark.
A 12-hour shift was considered normal.
Yeah.
A 12-hour shift with 2 5-minute breaks during the entire 12-hour shift was considered normal. And, you know, these facts are just amazing to me because there was a push. When I was about 20 years old, there was a big push that got some momentum. It fell apart after a while to have only a 4-day work week here in the United States. The 4-day work week has been going on in France for a long time.
Yeah, there's a lot of countries that it's a 4-day week and they take, and they say that one of the reasons they're so productive is because in the afternoons they take a break and they take a nap and then they go back to work. They don't take a break and take a nap and then go out home. And go party.
Right.
They take a break, they take a nap, they come back to work rested, and they're ready to go for another 4 more hours.
They've been doing that in Mexico for centuries. It's called the siesta. Right.
What, do they actually sleep at work?
Yeah.
Well, that's been known to go on around.
Around here.
But you know, if you've ever
been there. I'll say it.
It's been many years since Eric and I traveled there, but it was back in the early 90s, and every place we went, the grandmother would show up at these job sites
and bring food
to mm-hmm. feed their grandkids or their sons. And it was a staple. It was tortilla and rice and beans and, you know, usually very little meat. And all the kids would gather around and eat and then go right back to work. There was no one-hour lunch break.
All those carbs.
Yeah.
Now, here's another fact. When do you think, at what age would you believe that you would be expected to have your first job? Now, not a 12-hour shift job, but your first job.
Oh, well, children, there were kids in the Navy that were indentured into these ships in the Navy when they were kids. I mean, like,
well, they
five
were cap-
and six
they were,
years.
They were cabin boys.
Yeah.
That's a totally different thing and a totally different discussion for a different night as to the origin of the cabin boy. But, And just a sidebar to the whole cabin boy thing. Do you know that the cabin boy on these ships, these long voyages across the Atlantic, there was generally a cabin boy that was the servant of the captain or another high-ranking officer if there was one on that ship. One of the duties of the cabin boy was to sleep with the captain. Now, don't take this the wrong way. Get your minds out of the gutter. The purpose of the cabin boy was to sleep above the covers across the feet of the captain. And the purpose was for his body heat of the little cabin boy who's shivering profusely above the covers was keeping the captain's feet warm. And that was one of the purposes of the cabin boy was
I know one of my favorite movies is Master and Commander, and there's lots of kids on that ship.
But that has the master and commander thing came from the star of the show. That's the reason why you're interested in him. What's his name?
Russell Crowe.
Russell Crowe.
No,
that's right.
So.
Oh
yeah,
no,
that's it. AJ,
I'm a big fan of the guy that was the doctor.
She can hide it all she wants, but it was Russell Crowe.
Is it? What's his name? Not Anthony Edwards. What's the guy's name that plays the doctor?
I've seen that movie one time, and it wasn't even that enjoyable when I saw it the first time.
Peter Weir, the guy that did Buckaroo Banzai, and he directed that movie.
The first job you were expected to have was at 8 years old. Actually, schoolhouse book learning, ended sometimes 12, sometimes 13. Okay, so you were considered educated by the time you were 13.
And then you went and apprenticed.
And then you went and apprenticed, or you worked on a farm in hopes of inheriting the farm. And men were generally married by 17. Women were married by 16 or earlier. And in some states, and it was just recently changed, even some states here in the United States, you could get married at 14.
Yeah, because if you weren't married by 20, you were a spinster.
Right. If you weren't married, if you weren't married by 18, according to the information I had, you were considered a spinster. The average lifespan?
Yeah, now that's what you need to bring up because people didn't live that long.
Yeah. If you lived to be 45, you were considered living to a ripe old age.
Yep. Wow.
Yeah, and it slowly got older as time went by, and that is one of the reasons why now our average age for the first time in a couple of decades, the children that are born today or this year can only expect a 77.1 year average life expectancy, whereas last year, 2015, it was 77.5. So for the first time since they started recording this age, it will be that children will live less on average.
I know I read a funny article about Sean Connery and Michael Caine were doing an interview, and he said somebody asked how we liked middle age. He said, I'm almost 70. I don't plan to live to 140.
Exactly. I think they were trying to comment them. But this is where I'm building the framework for this whole idea that women, when we get around to it, will show that the dissolution of the nuclear family and the dissolving of that dinner time camaraderie has really brought society down. You're listening to I'm Speaking Plainly. I know the phone lines are full. We're going to get to them just as soon as we get back. If you'd like to take some, there's only a couple lines left. 222-TALK, 222-8255. We'll be right back. Join us, won't you?
Let's get back to I'm Speaking Plainly.
What you got to say?
To join the conversation, call 222-TALK.
Say, hey, hey, hey.
That's 222-8255.
What you got to say?
Once again, here's Bill Hay.
Good evening, Jacksonville, and welcome back to I'm Speaking Plainly. We're going to go to breaking news event with AJ.
Yeah, we were talking about breaking news earlier, but this, unfortunately, is not the kind of breaking news we want. Now, multiple agencies are responding to an apartment fire off Kingsley Avenue in Clay County. Now, the authorities asking you to avoid that area around Kingsley. If you're seeing some rescue units, et cetera, please steer away from that area. Plus, there are, unfortunately, reports of people trapped in that Orange Park apartment building.
Wow.
We'll keep you posted on
that. And that truly is breaking news. And if you're out there and you're within the sound of my voice or AJ's voice, try to avoid that area. The time that police and fire vehicles spend trying to navigate around civilian vehicles is time wasted towards preventing the loss of life. And so, AJ, if you would keep watching and keep it updated as time goes by, because that's definitely worth breaking in for. Let's go to the phones and bring up Marty. Marty, good evening and welcome to I'm Speaking Plainly.
And a happy new year. And I don't know if I remember if I told you, but this might be my second longest call. I called you last week from New York City on my visit for the Christmas visit. And I was enjoying your show, as always, on the computer. And two things I want to touch on. It was kind of cold over there, about 14 degrees at night. And funny thing is, people weren't talking about cold because normally, I don't know if people are aware of this, but normally, and hi, Holly.
Hey,
normally, Marty. Normally in December in New York, it's not usually 80 or 90 degrees. So we accept it as such. Now you come down here, and some people are taking it like men, Even the men are taking it like men, and some of the lesbians are taking it like men, or whatever.
Wow. Jimmy Mignette will be on my phone.
If Al Gore is listening to us, I want you to give back the money you won for the Nobel Peace Prize. Now, you were talking about women and about females in the home, and I want to say that, unfortunately, my mother left us a few months ago. My mother passed away at the age of 97 and a half.
Wow, my condolences.
And her mother died at 99. Well, my mother was born in 1920. And in those days, a female, a mother, because, of course, in my family, there's no such thing as living together. They got married. They did what a mother did. She had three kids. I'm the oldest. And she would send us to school and make us lunch. And in those days, a woman of my mother's era, if she was working, she went around one time selling Avon. And that was a big deal for them. Now you have, I see women working on the roads, collecting garbage in St. Augustine. And we're right that the nuclear, as Jimmy Carter would say, the nuclear family is being destroyed. And that's all part of the, as Marshall Woods would talk about, the program to feminize the men and to destroy civilization. Because a woman's or a mother's position is at home, and to give her that matriarchal support. Unfortunately, in minority communities, many times the mother is also the father, and even though she may try, she's not a man, she's a woman. Then we get into an interesting situation of formerly Chastity Bono, but not Chaz Bono, mm-hmm. where Cher thinks she's a man. Well, I'm going to quote Rod Steiger in the movie Duck, You Sucker. He said to one of the people in a wagon, "Can you make a baby?" I don't think that either way Chaz Bono can make a baby. And that's people experimenting in what I call the Frankenstein realm of making women into men, and then Bruce Jenner is now Kristy Jenner or something like that? Caitlyn Jenner. So, and I'll tell you what, they're going to be punished because there's two sexes, a man and a woman. And a woman is supposed to do her duties, and a man is supposed to do his duties. And, you know, like if somebody's breaking, you have, unfortunately, a lot of home invasion burglaries in Orlando, and if the guys are breaking through the window or the door, I don't think that John is going to go over to Christina and say, "Help me." So that's not the way it's supposed to be. The man is supposed to play the caveman role, whatever, and I think that's where we're losing it. And the women are getting paid back now because I'll tell you, when I was a kid, there was no such thing as females raping males, if you know what I mean.
Exactly.
But now, thanks to women's lib, they've changed the wording of rape. So any woman who gets locked up for that can thank women's lib for that. I'm not condoning it, but a lot of things have been changed by the movement. Anyway, I think the whole world is screwed up. And I don't know, one of the ways that we can correct it is by everybody listening to your program every Saturday night.
Thanks, Marty. I appreciate it, and I appreciate the call.
Bill, yeah. I may give you a call about February.
You have my number.
The parents down here?
Sure, you have my number. I'll be happy to come do it.
And let's see what it looks like. Hey, thanks a lot for
You're
being
welcome.
There.
Take care, buddy. Bye-bye. So there's Marty. Marty is a long-time listener, long-time caller.
Shows up to our events.
He's a social activist out there, a great guy, and a pet and animal lover. Couldn't ask for
my husband loves him because he's a former police officer.
Couldn't ask for a nicer listener. And then we have to go to this guy. So, good evening, Marshall, and welcome to I'm Speaking.
Oh, come on.
Okay, the bullets are flying already.
We love Marshall too.
I wanted to make a couple comments at the outset of this rather bold topic that you've decided to discuss for the next couple of weeks.
He even talked about you.
Well, I heard you. Thank you, sir. You made some very kind comments in spite of the usual pejorative that you do put out. Anyway, there were a couple of things I think we need to think about as we go through this process of this discussion over the next few weeks. And one is understanding that today's listeners of the 21st century are going to have a perception problem in dealing with the people of the 18th century that established many of the laws that we deal with. We look back and we see people getting married at 16 and a half or 17 as women, 17 and a half and 18 as men, and bearing many children. And we think, a certain way about them that's negative because we're judging them with the standards that exist today. The same would be true if the people from the 18th century turned and were able to look at those of us in the 21st century. They would be aghast because the people from the 18th century were seeped in a more commonly accepted religious base that America today absolutely has rejected. So we have this now conflict between the secular and the religious, and it makes it very difficult for us to actually interpret fairly well anything about those cultures. But I do know this. You can look and see certain things such as stability of family, productivity per person, things like that, and you'll discover that the culture was pretty healthy back in the 17th and 18th century with respect to family relationships in spite of the much more difficult lifestyle. Now, you know, I'm in the process of working on a second book, and one of the things that I'm dealing with in this book is the impact of leisure on the morality of the people. When your life is, well, let's just say miserable, and you're working a 12-hour-plus day and then having to go home and do the manual labor it took that's very time-consumptive to just sustain your life, you were basically sleeping a while, and then you were working, and that was life. That's not a good thing. I don't advocate for that. But in the world that we have today, we are so entertainment-oriented that we have allowed this concept to get in our head that it's okay to pay people money not to work. And that's the big welfare system that is developed in this country. And from the abundance of unfilled time, people create all sorts of, unfortunately, rather nefarious or bad things to do. There has to be a balance eventually in a culture between productive work and productive leisure. And I think that the time we live in now generates too much extra leisure time and therefore a tendency to corrupt the culture. I want to give you a very good example of it. Once I call it to your attention, I think you'll be able to see it and you'll say, wow, you know, maybe this is obvious. And it may make Holly bristle a little bit, but I think Holly may have one of these perception problems and not really understanding how it used to be, and there were valid reasons for the culture being as it was.
You do understand that I have to stay in the studio while you get to hang up the phone.
Ultimately, Holly comes out okay in what I'm fixing to say, but I'm trying to get her to be patient. As I walk through this.
The music is cutting you off, buddy. I will put you on hold.
All right, sure.
Organize your thoughts, and we'll come back to you just as soon as this next commercial break is over.
All right, I'll hold.
All right, there you go. So, Marshall, we're going to put him on hold, and we'll
and
be
I know
back
he
him.
Thinks he may, I may not agree with. When I was a kid, my mom stayed home, and it wasn't until my
you
dad lost his
job. You never know what direction
Nabisco.
He's going.
Yeah.
So you
oh,
may
I'm
think
sure.
you know.
Oh, I know.
But you don't
I
really know.
I know where he's going.
All right,
this.
So Marshall's back on hold. Phone lines are open. If you've got an opinion on the position of workplace women or women in the workplace, give us a call, 222-TALK, 222-8255. We're going to step away for just a couple minutes, and we'll be right back. If you'd like to reach me on Facebook, I know I've gotten 20-plus messages here already tonight. So we'll look at those, and we'll be right back.